We are, of course, continuing our study in the life of this man called Peter. And our text for this morning is verse 33. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, that is Moses and Elijah, came to pass, and as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. The Lord went up into a mountain to pray, something which he had done before. We read in Luke 6 and verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. Only this time, as he went up into a mountain to pray, brought with him Peter and John and James, brought them to that place of intercession. The Lord had taken those three same disciples with him on other occasions. They had been chosen out of the 12. You recall when he went into the home of Jairus and raised Jairus' daughter to life, Peter, James and John were there with him. Mark 5, verse 37. When he went to Gethsemane's garden, and there he agonized in prayer, the same three, Peter, James and John, had been brought to that place by the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 37. And what a privileged trio of disciples they were. Now another privilege is afforded them. They are going to a prayer meeting with their master. He brought them, remember, we noted that last week. He brought them, he led them, he took them to the place of prayer. And as he led the three disciples up that mountain, neither Peter, nor James, nor John was aware of what would take place there on that mountain. They would see Christ in his glory at that prayer meeting. Heaven would come down in the form of two glorified saints at that prayer meeting. And this shows us, believer, when the Lord leads us to a prayer meeting, we just do not know what the Lord has prepared for us there. And what a time of blessing it was for those three disciples. And again, Peter spoke for them all. Peter said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said that in your heart? You've been to a prayer meeting and you've said in your heart, it's good for me to be here. You've come to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day and you've been conscious of the Lord's presence, and again you've said, Master, it is good for me to be here. What is it that makes it different? What is it that makes it so good to be here? The Lord's presence. That's what Peter was saying. The Lord was there. And Peter says it's good for us to be here. There are a number of reasons why it was so good and so special for Peter and the others to be there. First of all, because Peter's Savior was there. You don't even know that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And Peter and the others experienced a little bit of heaven, the sight of that mountain that day, because they saw Christ as they had never seen Him before. That's right. They'd been with the Lord a number of years. They'd seen many things wrought by the Lord. But they never saw Christ like this before. For verse 29 tells us, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." They'd never seen that before. And regarding what we see there in that verse 29, we're told about his countenance. His countenance. "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered." Seeing Christ in his glory, as he was transfigured before them, what the disciples saw that day, listen, what the disciples saw that day and how they viewed Christ that day, you know something? That's how we will see Him when we reach heaven. All of God's people, when they get to glory, they will see Christ as the three disciples saw Him that day on the mountain. For we are told, when John, in the book of the Revelation, remember, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice behind him like the sound of a trumpet, and when he turned, he saw Christ. And he describes Him as His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. Revelation 1:16. His countenance, just as we read here, His countenance was altered and His raiment was white and glistering. John on the Isle of Patmos saw Christ and he said His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. That's not surprising, since the prophet tells us, Malachi 4 and verse 2, "But unto you that fear His name shall the Son of Righteousness," Christ, and He's described as the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness, "shall arise with healing in His wings." That's how we'll see Christ, as the Son of Righteousness. Yes, that's how we will see Him. So different, believer, from the first time we saw Him. You might say, well, when was that? Well, when we sat under the preaching of the gospel, and we were told about Christ, and we were shown what He suffered, something of what He suffered as He was led to the cross. we were under conviction of sin, and Christ was presented to us, and we saw Him. How did we see Him? We saw Him as the substitute for our sin. We looked upon Him, and we saw that face of His covered in spittles, as His enemies spat upon Him. That's how we saw Him. Then we saw His enemies that hated Him. Not only did they spit on His face, but they slapped Him in the face. Then we saw those that despised Him pluck the hairs from off His face. That's how we saw Him. Then we saw Him with a crown of thorns upon His brow and blood streaming down His face. That's how we first saw Him. And then as He hung upon the cross, and we looked by faith to that center tree on Calvary's hill, we saw the anguish and the horror and the suffering expressed in that face. That's when we first saw Him. And because He had not hid Himself from suffering and shame, we could see He did it all for us. And when we beheld the sufferings of Christ, you remember that day? That day or that night or that evening, that hour, when we saw that Christ had suffered so much for us, we bowed our head and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And He saved us by His grace. That's how we saw Him the first time. But when we see Him again, we shall look upon that same face, and it shall be shining as the sun in His strength. Yes, we shall see Him as He is. That's how Peter, James, and John saw Him that day of that prayer meeting on the side of a mountain. His countenance was altered and His raiment was white and glistering. So as well as His countenance, we're told about His clothing. His raiment was white, glistering. What a view, what a sight that was of the Lord that day on the mountain. You know, believer, we're going to see Him one day, and that's how we will see Him. That's how we will see Him. His raiment was white and glistering. Matthew describes it as follows. His raiment was white as the light. Matthew 17 and 2. This is all so wonderful concerning Christ, because He is God. And what do we read in 1 John 1 and 5? God is light. Christ is God. That's how the disciples saw Him that day. Because God is light and Christ was all light. Paul, speaking about the Lord, said, "Who only," speaking about Christ, "who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach. 1 Timothy 6 and 16. And David, the psalmist, he saw Christ. How did David describe him? Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. So that's what he had that day in the mountain. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Psalm 104, verse 2. That's how Peter, James, and John saw him that day. And how those who are saved, that's how we'll see him, praise the Lord. That's how we will see Christ. What John and Peter and James witnessed that day on the mount, and how they saw Christ, listen, that's how we're going to see him. Turn to Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. Look at verse 22. Speaking about heaven. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb, Christ, is the light of heaven. The Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And Christ is the light of heaven. Praise the Lord. No night there. Christ is the light. And he's the light of heaven. And you know something? When we look upon him, in all probability we'll say, yea, he is altogether lovely. Tell me, my friend, will you be there? Will you be in heaven to see Christ, who is the light of glory? Or will you spend eternity not in the light, but an utter darkness? Darkness. A darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. As well as his countenance, his clothing, we notice his company. His company. So the Lord was joined at that prayer meeting on the mountain by two glorified saints, Moses and Elias, or Moses and Elijah. Verse 30. So there on the mountain, the Lord was joined by three earthly saints and two heavenly saints. This typifies for us the Church of Christ. We talk about the Church of Christ. It's made up of earthly sin and heavenly sins. We belong to the same church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And the fact that Moses and Elias appeared with the Lord there shows when they died, they hadn't been annihilated. That's what some people believe today. That's what they want to believe. They don't want to think about eternity. They think when a person dies, they die like a dog, and that's the end. No, sir. Moses and Elias, they were there. Two glorified saints. No, there's no annihilation. No. The Lord has told us that when he told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, doesn't? When the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. When Lazarus died, he was carried into the very bosom of Abraham. Abraham's in heaven. When Lazarus, the poor sinner that lay at the rich man's gate, one went to heaven and the other went to hell. That's what the Lord has told us. No, there's no annihilation. There's only two destinations, heaven or hell. That's it. No purgatory, nothing in between. And here we read of that prayer meeting on the mountain, there were two glorified saints, Moses and Elijah. They had died hundreds of years before, but they've gone to heaven. You know, there's something else. They weren't described as two spirits. They were described as Moses and Elias. There's been the question raised a number of times, will we know one another in heaven? This tells us we will. We'll know one another in heaven. And believer, those who have gone before and they're in heaven, we'll know them when we see them. Praise the Lord. That was something to look forward to. And what a reunion we will have in glory. And we'll recognize one another. Great. We have the Savior's countenance, the Savior's clothing, the Savior's company. And then we're told about the Savior's conversation. His conversation. When the Lord met with Moses and Elijah, we are afforded the privilege, the opportunity to listen in, as it were, on their conversation. Verse 31. Moses and Elias appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. There you have their conversation. There you have the topic of their conversation. So they talked about the death of Christ. And in speaking about the death of Christ, evidently they would have been talking about the cross. a speck of his decease, his death, was there in the cross that he laid down his life. It was there in the cross that he died for sinners. It was there in the cross he shed his blood. Notice the wording. They spake of his decease, which he should accomplish. Accomplish. That speaks of victory, doesn't it? When we think about death, we think of defeat. We think of death having conquered the individual. But here, instead of the conversation being about death being the victor, we read, and they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish. This makes reference to what Christ would accomplish through his death. And didn't he accomplish a great deal? Because through the death of Christ, souls were saved. That's an accomplishment. Because of the death of Christ, brands were plucked from the burning. That's an accomplishment. Because of the death of Christ, hell was robbed of souls. That's an accomplishment. And of course, when Christ laid down his life and was laid in the tomb the third day, he rose again victorious. That's an accomplishment. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. And when Christ rose from the dead, he conquered hell. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. That's an accomplishment. That's what Christ did. And you know something? Christ lives today. And all who know him and have received him as Savior, they shall live also. We shall live in the power of an endless life. Notice regarding this conversation, since two saints from heaven talked with the Lord about his cross work, what does that tell us? That tells us that the main conversation in heaven will be about the cross work of Christ. That's why we'll be in heaven, because of the cross work of Christ. Because we have received the Lord as Savior. Because we have received him by faith and accepted what he did for us at Calvary. And when we get to heaven, we'll be talking about the cross and what Christ did for us there. Revelation chapter 5. In verse 11, Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There it is. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That'll be the theme of conversations in heaven. What Christ did for us on the cross. I press on quickly looking at this prayer meeting, I see Peter's Savior there. Next, we notice Peter's suggestion that what a shame. Let me read here, verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Fell asleep at this great prayer meeting. Fell asleep. Because that was no new thing for those same three disciples. For when the Lord took them to Gethsemane, and the Lord wanted them to pray with him and support him in prayer as he agonized. The Lord prayed for an hour and came back in there, Peter, James, and John were fast asleep. He went away and prayed again and came back, Peter, James, and John were fast asleep. But here we are at another prayer meeting, and Peter, James, and John, they slept. They did awake from their slumbers in time, we're told, to see his glory. And the two men that stood with him, verse 32. Notice, they saw his glory, and the two men, the glory of Christ will always outshine any glory that men have. Saw his glory, the two men. In the light of Christ's glory, Moses and Elias were simply two men. They were just two men. Great men in their day, but nevertheless still two men. Christ is supreme. Regarding Peter's suggestion, we notice first of all Peter and his blessing. Then in our text, Master, it is good for us to be here. We're not told how long those three disciples slept, but what Peter and the others experienced that day was a blessing. Master, it is good for us to be here. Think of it. Peter said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Where were they? They were on the side of a mountain. They weren't sitting in a comfortable place of worship. They weren't in the temple. They weren't in the synagogue. They were on the side of a mountain, and yet they still said, it's good for us to be here. Why weren't they able to say that? Why did Peter say, Master, it is good for us to be here? I'll tell you why. Why was it good for them to be there? Because Christ was there. Because Christ was there. That's why. So when we come to the Lord's house, or we come to seek the Lord's face in prayer, we can say it's good for us to be here because we're here with the Lord. The Lord's here. And we're here with the Lord. just as good for us to be here. Oh, and that we may be able to say that more often. Master, it is good for us to be here. What matters where on earth we dwell? On mountaintop or in the dale? In cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Boy, that's right. What matters where on earth we dwell, on mountaintop or in the dale, in cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. So it is. Not Peter, that day Peter and the others experienced a little bit of heaven. At that prayer meeting on the side of a mountain. That's a great prospect, isn't it? That every time we come together to pray, as O'Brady said, you never know what the Lord has in store for us. We come to pray, and the Lord is there. Did I ever tell you about the prayer meeting in Dr. Paisley's own church in the Raven Hill Road, Belfast? He and a number of men, including Dr. John Douglas, met for prayer on a Friday night. They had done that regularly, but this particular night was different, because when the sun came up on Saturday morning, they were still praying. When the sun went down on a Saturday evening, they were still praying. And when the sun came up on the Lord's Day morning, they had to break up the prayer meeting because each of them had a church to go to. And for each of those men that were gathered there, you know what they could have said? Master, it's good for us to be here. You never know what the Lord will do on a prayer meeting. I tell you, never know what the Lord has in store for us when He calls us and brings us or leads us to a prayer meeting. As well as the blessing, good for us to be here. We see in this, in these words of Peter, the buildings, Peter made a suggestion which the inspired word, the Holy Spirit who inspired this book. What did the Holy Spirit say about what Peter suggested? Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he saith. That's the Holy Spirit telling us that. What Peter has suggested, making 3 tabernacles on the side of a mountain, Peter didn't know what he was talking about. Moses and Elias didn't need 3 tabernacles. They had a home in glory. Think of it. Why? Would they want to dwell in a tabernacle on the side of a mountain when they had a home in glory? You know, when you think of it, yes, we all mourn when we lose a loved one. They're taken from us. When they're taken from us, we wish we had them here. But you know something? No matter how much they've loved us, they wouldn't want to come back here. No. It would be like Moses and Elijah camping on the side of a mountain in tabernacles. Why would they want that? And they have a place in glory where there's no darkness, there's no weeping, there's no sorrow. There's not a graveyard in heaven. Why would anybody want to leave all of that and come back? So it said of Peter's suggestion, not knowing what he said. You notice that Peter asked the Lord. You look at Matthew and Mark. See a little detail there where Peter asked the Lord about building the tabernacles. But you notice the Lord didn't answer him. No. The Lord didn't answer Peter, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, while Peter was speaking. Important lesson there for us. We need to know what we're talking about when we come to speak to the Lord and pray and request. I set a request before the Lord. In other words, we need to pray in accordance with God's will. If we don't, the Lord not answer us. Peter made this suggestion, not knowing what he said. Finally, Peter's Savior was there. Peter's suggestion there. Very quickly, Peter was silenced there. In verse 34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Listen to him. The cloud descended while Peter was speaking. Do you see that? Peter was silenced there. The cloud speaks to us of the presence of God. That's right. The presence of God was known at that prayer meeting on that mountain that day. We read in Numbers 11, verse 25, regarding the days of Moses, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. And again, believer, We remember it was a prayer meeting. It's not that we always wanted a prayer meeting. A sense of the presence of God. What we want. And when there's the presence of God, we're told that Peter, James and John were overcome by fear. Feared God. That's what we always need and want in our meetings. Whether worship services or prayer meetings. Fear of God. Because when you have the fear of God, it will prevent us from saying anything foolish or behaving in a foolish manner. Presence of God will bring fear to our hearts. I make no apology for quoting the words of the psalm that I quoted maybe last week or the week before. God is greatly to be feared. Fear. In the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. I've often thought of getting those words that when I notice put on the door there as people come in or entering the house of God, and God is greatly to be feared. In the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Something we should never forget. The presence and the precept. What did God say? And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Lord, God spoke the same words at the Lord's baptism. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And now God said to those three disciples, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." That's who we're to listen to. That's who we're to give ear to. We're to hear him. And this is it here. God's word. Whatever we hear, whatever we read, whatever we glean from God's word, we're to apply it to our heart. We're to hear him. May the Lord enable us to do so. And when we come together for prayer, may we see something of Christ's glory. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we thank thee for giving us a glimpse of our Savior once again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. And Lord, I pray for any in the meeting that they know not the Lord. They know not the Savior, and at this moment in time, they would not be in glory. No. They will not dwell in that light unapproachable, but in the darkness, a darkness that can be felt. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Grant us all shall be mercy. Return us to thy house this evening. You hear thy servant preach the word and to learn more to learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.